The scripture reading this morning is 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I exhort first of all you to make supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings for everyone, for kings and for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in godliness and honesty.
Good morning. Great to see everybody today. It's a beautiful day. I feel very blessed to be here and enjoyed being here already so much. As you know, I'm here once a month, and so for me, it's like time lapse. You know, I come in every month and I see like progress. So that's good to see. It's really getting to my favorite time of the year. Really, from October through Christmas, that's just my favorite time of year. I like the weather. I like the holidays. I like how each month kind of has like a personality and the leaves change. So it's just a really beautiful day and just a great time to be with all of you. The school year, I teach fourth grade math, and we're several weeks into the school year, we're getting into our kind of comfort zone. And something that I've thought about over the last few years, I heard it somewhere, learned it from a professional development or somewhere, I can't remember where. But it talked about how important it is to have a rapport with all of your students. And it gave this idea to actually make a list and kind of rank them based on how well you know them after, a few weeks, a month. And it can kind of make you be more purposeful about some of the kids who you maybe aren't connecting to as much. In reality, the kids who are maybe more quiet, they don't cause trouble. They don't have academic trouble. It's kind of easy for them to kind of go unnoticed, just kind of, be there, and they're always doing what they should be doing, and they're not a concern, and it's kind of like they slip through the cracks. So it's important for me to be very mindful of making sure that that doesn't happen. And I thought about that while I was doing this lesson because here Paul, in our scripture reading, is telling Timothy to pray for all people. And I kind of thought, are there people spiritually who are kind of slipping through the cracks like that? Are there people who we kind of aren't noticing, maybe in our lives? So I wanted to kind of think about two main things that I think Paul is instructing here. The first kind of being that we pray for all people and that we're genuine and we're sincere and we're thoughtful about that. And then he also, of course, mentions that we pray for kings and all who are in high positions. So I wanted to think about our prayer life this morning and what Paul may be teaching here. So in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, Paul does teach us to pray for all people. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people. After reading several different commentaries on this, because Paul mentions four distinct words here, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings. And I don't know that, pointing out exactly what each one means is necessarily the most important thing that Paul is talking about here, because I think there's maybe some overlap in the way that we think about those words, and I don't know that it's super easy to distinguish always what each of those four are, but there are these four different components that Paul uses to describe the way that we pray. He says supplications, which kind of means asking for something. The Greek word, as I saw, means petition or expressions of need. And we definitely do that when we pray to God. We talk to Him about the things that we need, at least from our humble perspectives, the things that we need. Because I know that there are many, many times in my life where the things that I thought I needed weren't really the things that I needed. And the things that I thought I wanted, if I had known better, were not the things that I should have wanted. We know, of course, that God knows far better than us. In Matthew 6:7, Christ taught about praying. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. And I think that's so important for us to remember. And when we're asking for things, we have that humility and we recognize that we don't always know what we need. But God knows that. He knows our hearts. And I think our sincerity and our attitude and our humility in that is very important as we pray. And there's nothing better to soothe a need than to talk to God about it and to go to Him in prayer about it. So Paul mentions supplications. He also mentions prayers. And one source I read said it was like interactive prayers. Like a real communication that we are having with God. And I think that's so important to remember. Having young kids and going about the process of you know, trying to model for them a way to pray and to teach them about prayer, it's caused me to have to be very mindful, more so than I used to be, about conveying to them that, you know, prayer is, it's actually talking to God. And you know, I have to focus on that because I know for children, they don't see, you know, God sitting there and talking to them the way that they talk to me. But I want them to understand. I try to show them and model to them that, you know, even though you don't like see God sitting there when you pray, you really are talking to someone. You are talking to someone who can hear you and listen and understand. And I want to make sure that they comprehend that. That prayer to them isn't something that is just, you know, like Jesus said, like empty words. But it's, and it's not just saying things in like this kind of hopeful mantra type way that we would just kind of repeat things for our own well-being. It's actually communicating with God, and it's actually interactive. And that's kind of made me, I think, better in my prayer life too, just having to teach them and to model that for them. And one thing that I've kind of started to do with that, which I didn't do as much before, was to actually, you know, in my prayer say, you know, God, I love you. And that just feels good to me to say that. And to recognize that. I want my kids to know that. I mean, from my actions and from the things that I do, but I also want them to hear me say it, to not be ashamed of saying that I love God, and to recognize that I am talking to God when I say that, so I can communicate that to Him. And then Paul also mentions intercessions, asking God to intervene. A lot of times, not even on our own behalf, but to ask for things of God for someone else, for others. And that's going to be particularly important as we go on in this lesson. And then the final thing was thanksgiving, showing gratitude and appreciation for what God has done and for what He will do. The things that He has promised will take place, and we can be assured of that. You know, it's weird for me to think about, because I know God doesn't exist in time like we think of time, and it's just kind of, you know, I like science fiction, and this is kind of a science fiction-y idea, but, you know, for God existing outside of time, and I don't mean it's science fiction as in it's not true, I just mean it's just like we try to, you know, conceptualize these things that we have trouble with. But, you know, God exists outside of time, so I really think for Him, like, it's not a matter of, you know, I promise I will do this. Like, He knows. It's a certainty. Like, it's not a question of will God follow through or not. Like, He knows. He knows what is true. So we can be thankful not only for all the amazing things that we have, but in the assurances of the things that He has told us. That Christ will come again. And that heaven is prepared for the faithful. So we have so much to be thankful for. So as we look at these different components and perspectives of prayer, we see with Paul, there is no differentiation with when it comes to who we pray for. He says pray for all people. And so the difference really isn't like, do we pray for this person or this person, but it's really just what do we pray for them about? Like what is the need that this person will have? We know that there are people who are struggling physically and they have health concerns or safety concerns, and it may even be psychological concerns. And we are taught that we are to pray for intercession on their behalf. In James chapter 3, I'm going to begin in verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And so I want to just pause there. You know, we talked about, you know, just a moment ago, Paul says pray for all people. It's not who we pray for, but what we pray for them about. And here we see, you know, is anyone suffering? Pray about that. Is anyone cheerful? You know, sing praise together. You know, we connect with people with whatever they need. And then verse 15, and the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. And I like that there's an example there. It's like, if you don't believe that prayer has an impact, if you don't believe that it can make a difference, consider Elijah. He was a man just like us. He was just a human being. He wasn't God. But he prayed that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain. And then when he said he prayed for it to rain, it rained. And that's given to us as an example that God hears us, that He knows our needs, and that He answers our prayers. And there may be people in the church, so we see God answers our prayers. It talks about praying for the sick, praying for those who are suffering. And we know that there are also people who may be facing spiritual struggles. And I say there may be people, there are people. And it's all of us. I mean, we all have spiritual concerns in one sense or another. I don't know that there's anybody that, our adversary is not trying to trip up. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 13, Christ, in talking about prayer, in giving us a model for prayer, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That is something we should pray for ourselves and for all of us, everyone across the church and across the world. There are people who are outside of salvation or outside of Christ who have unforgiven sins, and we need to pray for them. We need to pray that they can find the spiritual help, the guidance, the heart, the opportunity, so that they can resist that temptation, that they can come and have their sins forgiven by Christ. So there's really no one that we can mention that doesn't need our prayers. And I'm not saying that we have the ability to pray for every single person, even if we wanted to. I know that we can't specifically mention every human being in our prayers, but I think we can. I'm speaking of myself, do a better job of trying to pray for everyone. And even if it's more of a collective prayer, I believe that God hears us. That we can pray for everyone who's inside the church and in their walk with God and in their ability to spread the gospel. And we can pray for everyone who's outside the church to find that message, to hear it, to have it planted in their hearts. And you know, if you pray for everybody who's inside the church and everybody who's outside the church, that's pretty much everybody. and praying for children who are young and are facing difficulties. And so there are ways that we can be, I think, more mindful. I'm saying me. I can be more mindful in praying for everyone. And that's something that, you know, it's not pitting people against each other or praying for some over others. I remember when I was real little, I can remember lying in my bed at night, and I kind of had this like prayer that I would kind of go through, and it was, I would just kind of say the same things. And one of the things I prayed for was for the sports teams that I liked to win. Now, that's a very immature kind of way of thinking of prayer. I very rarely do that anymore. No, I'm just kidding. I don't pray about that anymore. It's a trivial thing, first of all. But secondly, you know, if you're praying for one person to succeed in something like that, a zero-sum game, then you're also praying for someone else to fail, which is probably not the way that we should be praying. And that kind of led me to think about, you know, times in my life where, you know, I've maybe had an opportunity for a job, and I've prayed to God about getting the job. And, you know, having thought about it now, I think, was I praying for other people not to get the job? And I'm not saying that it's wrong to pray for those things, but it kind of made me think, like, you know, my prayer should be more about everyone and considering everybody. And maybe I should be praying not so much like, you know, help me get this, but let's help everyone who's involved get what is best for them. And maybe even saying, like, you know, I hope that this is good, but if it's not good, if it's better for someone else, you know, just having more of a mindset of praying for everybody. And that may be difficult to think of, like if there's a job and, you know, two people want it, you know, our minds say, well, somebody's going to win and somebody's going to lose. And maybe in a sense, only one person can get that job. But for us to think that God can't work it together for good for everyone involved, I think is kind of short-sighted. Because there's been jobs that I remember praying to get that I didn't get, and now I am so thankful that I did. And it was the absolute best thing for me. We kind of think of situations in life where, you know, one person's going to do better than the other, but that I think is selling God a little short. We can pray that everyone can get what is best and that He can make it good, that He can make it valuable for every single person. Even if it's, you know, for me to be humbled, even if it's for me to, you know, learn a valuable lesson by something not going the way that I wanted, it can work together for good. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. But we do not know what to pray for as we ought. And I can relate to that. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And then this next verse is something that I use a lot. And when I say I use it out of context, I don't mean I think I use it wrongly, I hope. But this, I forget that he just talked about how the Spirit intercedes for us in our prayers. Then he says, directly afterward, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. And so I think when we have that attitude in prayer that we are praying for everyone and that all good is done, that God can work it together for good for everyone. So I think that needs to be our perspective in prayer. And then continuing in 1 Timothy, to pray for those who are in high positions. It says, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. And when I read this passage, probably like some of you, I think of like the leaders of our country. It says kings, you know, leaders in a worldly sense, and that's what I think of too. And our leaders need prayers. Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. I believe we need to pray for righteousness. Again, not just in our country, but across the world. That all leaders are trying to seek what is righteous and what will glorify God and put Christ first in all things. We sometimes think of people in high positions and positions of power, kings, as, you know, being in enviable positions. And I guess in a way, they are, but there's also a lot of difficulty that comes with that kind of responsibility. And a lot of times we think of people as being high and enviable, maybe subconsciously or even consciously, we're less likely to pray for them. I'm a teacher now. For a couple years, I was a principal. And please understand, I'm not equating that to some kind of position of glory or huge responsibility or, you know, importance or anything like that. But just relative to what I do now, you know, being in you know, responsible for a school, it, you know, I could tell a difference. Like there's that accountability. There's more responsibility. It's a higher position of leadership than I was at prior to that. And, you know, that's a very, very small way that I can kind of relate to that. Like, yeah, the people who are in charge of things, they need prayers. It's not always easy when you're in charge of something. If you're managing people, I can't even imagine, you know, leading a military or having, you know, political power in a country. Regardless of how we feel about them, they need our prayers. We need to pray for righteousness for this nation and every nation. And we also have in the church elders and deacons. And I know we don't have any here right now, but we pray for the leaders who are in spiritual positions of leadership. You know, we think about how great the responsibilities are of our political leaders, but, you know, being a shepherd of the flock, dealing with people's, you know, shepherding them in following God, nothing could be more important than that. And it's such a responsibility, and we need to pray for the men who are in those positions for wisdom and comfort and courage, that they can be the leaders for the flock that God wants them to be. And so finally, as we close, what's the result of these prayers that we give? In our scripture verse, for kings and all who are in high positions, we pray for them that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. And I just think that's such a beautiful expression of the way that what we kind of desire when we pray for each other and for our leaders and for our country and our world and the church, to seek after righteousness so that we, as Christians, might just be able to serve God and live godly lives and seek after righteousness without interference, to live that peaceful and quiet life. Again, thinking about having children, it does make me think, you know, when I'm praying for the country or I'm praying for the leaders, you know, I have young children who are growing up in a different world than I grew up in. And they're going to face a different world than I'm even facing right now. And I want them to have as much protection from sin and have as much righteousness around them as possible. So that's something that I want to pray for, that they have that. But even if there are things that come up, no one can prevent us from serving God and following Him. Even if they were to try to take our lives, they can't stop us from serving God. And we're very blessed. I think we are blessed as a nation. You know, we talked about praying for Thanksgiving. We are able to come here and worship and study and talk. And that is not something that we should take for granted, that our leaders, past and now, have given us this opportunity to do that. But even if someday, and in some places in the world right now, it is the case that there is interference with that, I pray that those people in those situations have the strength to still serve. You know, Daniel, of course, was thrown in the lion's den. And what he was thrown in the lion's den for was not obeying the decree that, you know, you weren't allowed to pray to God. And I pray, and I know that we can still serve God, even if there's a literal or proverbial lion's den waiting for us. And one of the things I tell students is, you know, a lot of times I say, well, I did this, but he made me do it. He made me mad. And I get what they're saying, but I try to reinforce with them, like I do with starting to do with my kids. No matter what someone does to you, you are in control of the way that you respond to that. No one can force you to do anything or to respond in a certain way. And I bring that up because as we pray for these good things, let's also keep in mind, no matter what happens in our relationship with, you know, civil authorities or anything else in our life, nothing can stop us from choosing to follow God, just like Daniel did. And then as we close, God desires that everyone be saved. We pray for good things for all of us, for the church, for those outside, for those who are in places of leadership, that we can have that peaceful and quiet life. And then in verse 3 of 1 Timothy 2, this is good and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. It is so easy to take the things that we have for granted. And that's why we pray with thanksgiving so much. And nothing should be more true that we don't take for granted than the salvation that we have through Christ. That He would be willing to go to the cross and die, not for me, not for you, not for us, but for everyone. That we may be with Him and God in eternity. Let us not take that for granted. And then verse 5, for there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. So let's try to be more like what God wants us to be in praying for all people, for the lost, for the saved, to be strong, and for our leaders to pursue righteousness for that quiet, peaceful life, and to be thankful for all the things that we have. If you have a need this morning, the invitation is open. And we pray that if you need to put on Christ in baptism or you need the prayers of the church, we are ready to pray for all people for whatever you need. If you'll come forward as we stand and sing.